Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Jonathan Dyke.
Well, we are, we're all, you, me, everybody in Horsham, London, Taunton, Italy, over 1,000 people in Italy who are praying for you. They're not praying in English, they're not praying in Scouser, they're not praying in Yorkshire, sorry. They're just praying in faith. But they certainly believe in God for you. We've got around about 300 guys down in Horsham that are praying for you. Every day for an hour. They believe in God that you're going to have a breakthrough. You're going to move on in the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a great time. You're going to have great lives. You're just going to be great. I think that's kind of exciting. There's a few guys in our congregation. They've, for whatever reason, they send me a text quite early in the morning because I know I like to get up and wake everybody up in my entire house. Which at the moment is just two of us. We do marriage ministry. Because we sometimes need it when I'm shouting at 6 in the morning. But somebody sent me a text the other day. And if it's okay with you to use a phone in the church. I know it's not always switched off. Make sure it is. But this one, text just encouraged me. Some of you might have heard it before. If you have, please forgive me. It'll do you the world of good. If you haven't heard it. It's brilliant. If you have heard it, it's really brilliant. The greatest man in history, Jesus, had no servants, and yet they called him master of all. He had no degrees to speak of, and yet they called him the greatest teacher of all. He had no medicines, yet they called him the greatest healer of all. He had no army, yet kings feared him. They still do. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the entire world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. Yes. Oh! Yes. I'm just going to pause there and just put in a little addendum. There's a whole load of gods that a whole load of people serve, but there is only one God today who lives. His name is Jesus. Yes. I've had hundreds of conversations of people that worship stick, stones, break your bones kinds of gods. They put the fear of God in you. And they kind of scare you, and if you don't do it right, you go in the wrong place, and if you don't do it right, whatever. Man, Jesus is alive. He lives today. He's holy today. He's brilliant today. I've added all that in the text, isn't that long? The last bit, he says, I feel honored to serve such a great man. And I hope that there's a whole load of people here that can hear me that think the same. It's an honor to serve the great man called Jesus Christ. And back in our kind of context, down the road, down south, we are just enjoying such a tremendous time of the great man doing great things. I just love it that you can stand in front of someone and see Jesus doing something. I just love it that you can stand in front of a bunch of people and it's like you're just standing watching. I think it's brilliant, don't you? It's like, look at me, I'm much better looking. I think it's brilliant that we can just allow this great man to do something great in somebody so ordinary. As I was praying this morning and kind of yesterday evening, I just felt the Lord wanting to say a couple of things before we get into kind of the word. One was, you're a hero waiting for a medal. I just believe in my spirit that there's a bunch of heroes sat here under the sound of my voice. And heroes just live above the ordinary. They just do something they know is right, but maybe nobody else is doing it. They maybe say something that they know is right, but nobody else will say it. They maybe believe God in a certain way and nobody else around them believe it. But you're a hero, and this morning God wants to give you a medal. Hallelujah. That's the first thing. The second one comes out of a scripture that the Lord spoke to me, and that is, the least of you. I think we probably all qualify. If we don't, then I cast out that spirit of pride in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The least of you will be like 1,000. The smallest, like a nation or an island or a big place. Anyway, it's bigger than me, all right? But I think even if we just take the first one, the least of you will be like 1,000. God wants you to know there's 1,000 times potential in you than you had. Hallelujah. Somewhere on the inside of you, in your thinking, in your spirit, in your believing, in your finances, in your workplace, in your relationships, in your potential, somewhere God just wants us to understand this morning. It is still morning. It might feel like we've been here all day already, but we haven't. Is there is a thousand time factor in your life. So these two things, I believe, God wants to kind of invest into our lives this morning. He wants to impact these into our thinking a little bit. That you're a hero. You're a hero just waiting for your battle. You're a hero just waiting for your conflict. I tell you what, conflicts always produce heroes. I don't just mean you go in there and you're popping away at missiles and this kind of thing, but maybe in your life it can feel like that, can't it? Particularly when there's pressure and there's the bullets of debt and there's the bullets of despair and there's the bullets of unemployment whizzing at you. Man, you need to rise up with that hero on the inside of you. Because someone inside of you is a thousand times bigger than someone on the outside of you. And I'm just going to keep kind of revisiting that little phrase while we're getting into the word. Back in our, say in our context, we're having such a, I don't know, kind of privileged time. God just seems to be running a little bit faster than he was. I know part of your kind of vision is acceleration, man. I tell you what. If you've got a Toyota, you know what I'm talking about. It gets better. When you put your foot down on a Toyota, you don't always know whether it's going to slow down again. If you have a Toyota, you probably arrive really early for the service. But really scared. God has put his foot down. I think the accelerator of his purpose in this season of time, he's just touched it a little bit. And things are happening just a little bit more quickly, a little bit more fast, if you like. It's a bit like, God, we're going to kind of have to hang on to you a little bit. Well, let me tell you, a hero hangs on. A hero doesn't let go. A hero doesn't quit. And I believe that's you. Please yourselves. I'm convinced that by the time we're finished, you'll be convinced that it's you. Is that because you're here for such a time as this, if you're breathing in oxygen and pumping out CO2, well done, global warming is your fault. If you're breathing today, and if you're not, we can soon fix it. If you're breathing today, then this message is for you today. You're here for such a time as this. You're a hero. This town needs heroes. This county needs heroes. Your workplace needs a hero. Your school, your college needs a hero. Your marriages need heroes. This town needs a hero, and it's you. It needs heroes, and you're the heroes. The thing is with a hero is I never think they are until they have to be. I don't think we're born them. I think we make them. And that's what Jesus said. I'm going to make you a fisher. An influencer. Someone that can change someone else's life forever. Someone who can change their future forever. Someone that can bring hope where there isn't one, healing where there isn't any. That's a hero. That's what heroes do. Someone that can come in with a kind of a wealthy kind of thinking rather than a gimme, gimme, gimme. That's a hero. A hero thinks about someone else first. And I just felt the Lord say this morning, there's a bunch of heroes going to be here today. Heroes have got nothing to do with size or shape. I tried to shorten it, make it smaller, the message. So otherwise we'll be here till tonight, all right? So I might make some words together. One of them is size. It means shape or size. It doesn't matter what size you are. I'm glad I said that. Hallelujah. Take that thought captive, you. Doesn't matter what size you are, what shape you are. It doesn't matter about your intellect, your education. There is a hero inside of you. I'm not talking about a Peugeot advert either, but that's a good song. Phil Collins. I like him. Anyway. So we've been seeing ordinary men and women kind of doing great stuff. We've had stories of people just seeing God in open vision. Not television. Open vision. I watch some of the Christian TV today and I don't see God in it. Unfortunately. So we can't look at the TV for a hero. Certainly if you listen to the radio, you'll find a kind of a hero there, but a hero that's only a celebrity. Whereas I think God is going to use heroes, and they will never become celebrities in that way. They're going to be heroes over the coffee table, heroes over the sink. They're going to be heroes in the car. They're going to be heroes at the bus stop. They're going to be heroes on the bus. They're going to be heroes because they just reach out where they are at that time and with that person. It's that kind of thing I'm talking about. Some of you have already done that. Maybe some of you are here because you sat near someone that was your hero. Someone that kind of stepped up and took up that kind of bat of faith and said, I'm going to just believe for this man, this woman. I'm just going to keep praying, just keep believing God. I'm going to keep knocking away everything I can see until God, you show them what they can't see. Well, you're a hero then. That's why part of what we've been doing is we've been training up and releasing, say, 200-300 people to lay hold of God. And then lay hold of God's heart and then download that into people's hands and into their lives today. So just over 1 year ago, we launched this 24-hour prayer strategy. We're kind of working towards it, training people, but there's a bunch of heroes that are releasing heroes. Hallelujah. In our town, in our 25-mile radius, in our nations and around the nations, we're getting stories every week, every month about breakthroughs, people getting saved, financial breakthrough opportunities. We had a kind of a prayer time end of last year now, and we were in the middle of it, and we were kind of praying and believing God and meeting with God and having a great time like we were having just now. That was awesome this morning, man. That new song, I love it. Is that a Claire song? I thought it was. I thought I recognised it. We were in the middle of this time of prayer. We were just praying for 1 hour. How many of you know that in 1 hour you can be a hero? You can go from zero to hero in 1 hour? Do you want to know how to do that? Bible says a day is like 1,000 years. Is that right? Divide 1,000 by 24. 1 hour is 40 years. 40 years is a generation. Some of you missed that. I know I'm in Yorkshire, right? I'll try and slow down. If you throw anything, it comes back, right? A day is like 1,000 years to you, O Lord. So divide 1,000 by 24, and 1 hour is 40.1 hours. That's close enough for me. 1 hour can change a generation of time. Financial, educational. Your family can change if you give 1 hour. Your future can change if you give 1 hour. Your finances will change if you give 1 hour. Your church life will change if you give 1 hour. Your workplace, you give 1 hour, you can change a generation of time. It only takes 1 hour to be a hero. There's 168 hours in 1 week. If you fill them, you're never weak. I know it's a bit quick. Keep up. I reckon there's enough people here to change this town forever. I said, I think there's enough people here to change this town forever. I believe already right now there's enough people here to change this city, this region forever. I believe there's enough people to change this church beyond recognition. It's a great church, great spirit, but man, come on, we're not big enough. We've got to start multiplying ourselves by 1,000. Oh, what can I do? Man, you can believe God for 1 hour. Be a hero for 1 hour. Be a hero and see what God does. So we've been training these guys, and man, on the back of that, we've been seeing all kinds of things open up. So in the middle of this prayer time, having a great time in the presence of God, and God said, right, stop, I want you to pray for the next mayor of Worthing. I don't know the mayor of Worthing. He said, no, but I do. Kind of helps you. God, it helps that sometimes we don't know. That's right. If you want to be a hero, you need to not know what you do know.
Yeah, good one.
Man, sometimes we just stop it because we know it. We've got to step into what we don't know. At the moment, we do church like we know how to do it. We be Christians like we know how to do it. We worship like we know how to do it. Man, God says, tell me and I'll show you what you don't know. A hero moves into what they don't know, but they still trust God. That's you and me. Anyway, you're in the middle of this time of prayer, and God said, pray for the mayor. We stop. There's about 40 of us there. A few leaders are meeting with us now, which is cool. A whole bunch of lunatics from the college. And there's a real bunch of lunatics this year. Oh, mate. I don't know where they came from.
We do.
I know where they're going. I don't know where they came from. And we began to pray for this mayor. We didn't, you know, I don't know how long we took, but we kind of felt we got a breakthrough, and we felt as if within that kind of 10 or 15 minutes, God had done what God wanted to do. Well, 1 week later, the first Christian mayor ever of Worthing was elected. It's kind of cool, isn't it? At the, we had a kind of an event last May called the Big Church Day Out. You might have heard of it down in the southeast. The whole state there was taken over by loads of Christians. Not the kind of thing I'd normally go to. I just don't like Christians. They're strange people. Kind of say one thing and then do something else. People, I don't know. Anyway, we all gathered up there, and during this whole event, and I actually missed the beginning of it, but this mayor was on stage with the guys from Delirious, and they prayed for him, and then they body surfed him. I would demonstrate with Chris, but man, I ain't that big. They body... I was just waiting for him to say something. You normally do. We body surfed this mayor, and the word was, every hand that touches him is an impartation. Man, I'll tell you what, that mayor's already begun to transform Worthing. It's great, I'll tell you. Things that shouldn't be happening, they're just not happening now. The whole view of that city is changing. That can happen in 1 hour. I mean, come on, it's the same God, isn't it? So we've been kind of living off the back of things like that, and, you know, people just keep getting healed everywhere. It's annoying. It is, because we have a sick church because we think sick. But heroes think healthy. We might be dealing with stuff in our own body, maybe some of you are, but man, there's a hero inside of you, and he's fitting well, he's healthy, he's sprightly, he's up for it. Yep. We just got to let the Spirit tell the hero of our mind there's a different way of thinking. Is that making some sense? Come on. There's some heroes in our congregation that, you know, it probably is different here, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to presume, but man, they've been having challenges in the workplace, and kind of all kinds of people have been losing jobs, but heroes get better jobs. They might not get them straight away, but man, they're not going to have one less. Another friend of mine, he's part of the Guildford kind of mob. I call them mobs now, because they're kind of a bit raw, a bit like hooligans, really. But this guy, he was diagnosed just over Christmas, I think it was Christmas Eve, with angina. He's a truck driver, and they said, well, we can't use you to drive the truck anymore. He's got a family and a household and all kind of stuff, so he texted me and we prayed. So I just give him another job running the weighbridge. Less hours, more money. Hello. Not only has it changed his generation of time, but his family's as well. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It doesn't take a lot to become a hero. All you've got to do is believe God for that hour. All you've got to do is step up to the plate for an hour. Why do you think Jesus says to his disciples, he was going off and a few went with him for a bit in the garden, then a few more left and a few dropped off. Man, I wish I'd have gone all the way. Nobody went all the way with Jesus. He said, can't you just watch for and pray for an hour? Man, I'd have loved to have seen Jesus, the Son of God, bringing salvation from heaven down into my reality. I'd have loved to have seen that. I'd have loved to have seen his heart breaking down, every stronghold breaking down. I'd have loved to have seen that. But like you and like the disciples, I was asleep. Well, heroes need to be awake when everybody's asleep. We've got to stay awake to kind of what God's doing. Do you know, I don't mean you spend all the time awake, unless you want to, I don't. But we've just got to be awake. When God's doing something new, we want to be there when he's doing it. So we're in an exciting time. We're really thankful to God. There's a kind of a breaking out of something happening. It's brilliant today. We've got a guy called David Brickner there, who's bringing a tremendous message about the whole heart that God has for Israel. It's awesome. He's probably speaking now. Probably won't take as long as me. He'll use more Hebrew words than me. I think Hebrew is just for tea drinkers, but... I haven't mentioned Essex yet. Anyway, just to kind of bring you up to speed, Pastor Clive and Jane, really, they send all their love to you. And like some of these other guys, they've been praying for you. Jane is in our prayer house through the night sometimes, as Pastor Helena is. This thing doesn't just stop when it gets dark, this prayer strategy. It keeps going. Why? Because the more we ask, the more answers we get. See, heroes don't just ask. They expect. Heroes don't just keep banging the door. They expect it to open. And heroes don't just seek, they find. And sometimes we need another hero next to us to help us keep asking, help us keep seeking, help us keep knocking. Just on Monday, we've launched, and it felt a bit like a launch, over 130 blokes in a whole initiative called Boot Camp. Oh, I love it. Put the boot into a bloke, see what comes out. I'll give you an example of what I mean. So, blokes, if this is you, and you should know, if you don't, we can pray. You might sit in there thinking, I'm a tremendous servant of the Lord. Hopefully some of you are. You'll never know really if you're a servant until someone treats you like one. See what goes off on the inside. We can say, oh, well, I'm a servant of God. I'm at all the prayer meetings. I tithe. Well, so do the Jews. But what we've learned is that if we're going to be men in the front line, man, we've got to be serving, not just servants. We've got to be given, not just giving. So we're investing 40 days, it's what, 34 days now, in gathering these guys together. We're spending time with them in the morning. Some guys we've asked to kind of look after little units, little squads, we call them, of four people, and they're texting them in the morning saying, you up praying yet? You meeting with God yet? And if the bloke says yes, or just a load of Zeds, sometimes it could be. But whatever it is, the officer says, that's good, because I'm outside your door, I'm coming in. It's true. That's one of the great dynamics of it. Why? Because blokes need heroes with them. They want to pray. They want to believe God. It's not a time of ministry, it's a time of encounter. And then every week, like this morning, in about an hour or so, 131 blokes are going to get together and they're going to download how God's used them to be a hero this week. It's great. I believe God is saying the same kind of things to you. You're a bunch of heroes. And God's going to give you some medals today. This afternoon now, it's gone past. You've got to look around. I was there. Everybody look at me. Hello. Last Sunday, I got a tremendous opportunity to bring a word. And this kind of word's been running with me for a little bit now. If you've checked it out on the watch and listen already, then I am better looking in the flesh. You were supposed to have said something then, sorry. You've missed it. But this kind of whole message comes really in the same kind of flow as being a hero. I kind of called it living above the average and changing the averages. Because there may be some of you, I suspect there's a lot of you, that just think you're an average Christian in an average church. You're not. In fact, you're wrong twice. This is not an average church. It was never supposed to be. It never will be. It never can be. But let me tell you that the church is made up of you and your hero. It's not about the praise and worship, how pumping it is. It's great that it is. Heroes like that kind of resonance. Heroes like that kind of atmosphere. But it's not about that. It's not about how good the message is or how bad it is. You might come and say, oh, that was an average message. There's no such thing in God. The only thing that's average is how we respond to it. Is this making some sense? Let's not live our Christianity based on somebody else's averages. Is that right? So I checked out a website. It's BBC. Website, you can check these facts out yourself. I spent a little bit of time doing it again because I chucked it away last time, so I didn't think I was ever going to use it again, so thank you very much. This is according to the most recent census of Great Britain. If you're from Scotland, it does include you, all right? We love you. We should have built the wall a bit higher. We never built it. It was a load of people from Italy, okay? It wasn't our fault. Apparently about 8 years ago, the sales of blue paint went up. You obviously haven't seen it. Braveheart? Oh, never mind. In the UK, there are 17.2 million families, of which you represent some of those. Of those 17.2 million families, around about 70% of them are headed up by couples, but not necessarily a man and a woman. How many of you know that we have one of the biggest strange couplings of families there is in Europe? Where's the heroes then? Who's going to be a hero about marriage? I think it's here. Who's going to promote right relationships? I think it's here. Man, if we just live according to averages, some of us need to get a divorce and find someone like us. If we're going to live like everybody else does, man, we need to start settling down with people of our own gender. No, we've got to be different and change the averages. Another average, some of these are kind of funny. An average family has 1.8 children. How do you do that? Let me tell you this, there's a lot of families that live as if they have. One child gets everything, the other child only gets 80% of it. Or maybe there's three kids and only get like 20%. You know what I'm saying? The average is 1.8 children. Sometimes our family life is lived like that. Why don't we change the averages then? Promote childcare parenting. I know you got some great guys up here and they're really running them. Man, the church is supposed to change that average, not conform to it. We're supposed to change it. Let's have complete kids, not 8.8 of kids. I mean, come on, I know what it means, but if we just read it, we think, oh, 1.8, I've either got too many or not enough. Come on, I want mine to make a difference. Yeah. I've got three kids, that's 3,000 people, potentially, they're going to change. Amen. It's not three lots of 0.8.
That's right.
Come on, we've got to change being infused with the thinking of averages. This is quite a good one. 40% of people own two cars and one of them is probably a Ford Focus. Now, if it is you, you're probably, unlike the Toyota where you were early, in this one, you may have walked. Or you could certainly have been late. I don't know what it is. I've got this thing about Fords. I was saying, Norm, why have I got this problem with Fords? He said, I don't know. I said, well, I don't know either. But this is a statistic. According to this census, 40% of people own two cars. I don't know whether they run them both or tax them both or MOT them both, but one of them, it says, is probably a Ford Focus. Man, that's a lot of Focus. I wish we had more Focus than that.
Come on.
So you thought I was being funny, weren't you? I always make you laugh and stab you with something. Man, we got to be focused more than that. Surely we spend more than 40% of our lives focused on something. I know I want to. I know heroes, they need to catch the moment, smell the air, find out what's going on, and do it. But a hero doesn't look sideways, they only look forwards. I was going to say forwards. Oh. I was going to do that, but I know I'd make a spectacle of myself. Some of you need to keep up. Sometimes when I'm doing stuff like this, like that, all right? I'm halfway through a really serious bit. A bit like some of you are looking now, like you've got a face like a slap bottom. You know, a little bit like that. And then suddenly somebody at the back will laugh because I said a joke 5 minutes earlier. So I keep up because you disturb everybody. Either do it all at once or just don't. 79% of these 17.2 million have a mobile phone. I've got a mobile phone. I was saying this last week. It's been worse since then. It switches on and off on its own. It moves from vibrate to really loud without anybody touching it. It's incredible. Then, when you're talking to someone, you can hear them. They can't hear you. You might think that's a good thing. But I've got a problem with it because it's an iPhone. And I just think, man, that can't be a Christian phone. It can't be. If it's got I in it, it can't be. But every morning I'm up and I'm blessing it and I say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for technology, but man, the thing isn't working, I'm getting a new one. The old is going, the new is coming, let me tell you. 79% of people in this country have a mobile phone. My question is, who do they talk to? I don't know how that works. If everybody tried to ring everybody else at the same time, what happens? But it does talk about technology and about the value of people wanting to stay connected with something. It does talk about people following fashion rather than function. Well, let's not fall into that average. Let's put function first, shall we? We're not here as people just to look good and sound good. We're here to change something. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's not just be fashionable. Oh man, I've been to so many churches, not just here, but in other places, and they're just following the latest fad. Well, fad is average. The Holy Spirit is never average. He's always above fashion, fad. He's always talking about now and the future. He's your hero. He's your hero. 79% have either a mortgage or a rent. And at the moment, well, man, that must be a challenge for a lot of people, but come on. We're not a begging society in the church. God wants us to become people that know we're heroes and we can lend to many and borrow from nobody. Let's not fit into that average in every kind of way in our life, in our thinking, in our behaviour. Man, we want to be givers. We want to be generous, don't we? You see, heroes are generous. They'll give everything away when somebody else maybe won't. They'll give everything into something where maybe somebody else won't. This is why you see heroes in industry and heroes in commerce and heroes all over the place, because they just give more than the next person. Well, I believe that's what God's put in you and in me. Someone will give, outgive us. He'll give the other 999. All we've got to do is give me. All I've got to do is give me. He adds all of the other figures up, so I become like 1,000. It's not I have a split personality, although some people think I have. I haven't. I'm like this most times. I just love God. It's not a button. It's not a fashion. It's not a fat. It's like when Pastor Clive was chatting last week, he made a bit of a comment which made me laugh. He said, "This guy's always happy. I can't help it. Even when I look at you, I'm still happy." But you know what? Because I can see where you'll be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time. I can see where your kids will be now, in influential places, in government, in commerce. I can see where you'll be now, of influence over cities, towns, businesses. Why? Because I'm looking for the thousandfold. I'm not just looking for what you can do. You're like me, you can't do zip. I can't do anything, you can't do anything. It's the hero inside of you. The Holy Spirit is going to do it. 65%, I kind of made a bit of a joke of this last week, I intend to do it again, so be ready. Too early. God, they're rubbish, aren't they? 75% of these 17.2 million have a home PC. So do I. I've got all his books. Yeah. You're good. I've got all his tapes. Got all his videos, but it doesn't make me him. That's right. You're not supposed to be him. You're supposed to be him. Get your own PC. Get your own personal Christ. It had the same effect in last week in Horsham, so don't feel bad. It's like, what's he talking about? When we try and aspire to do great things, we try and copy somebody else. But you're not here to copy, you're here to reproduce. Heroes don't copy, they reproduce. A copy is the same, it's the same, it's the same. Reproduction, it's more of the same. We're supposed to reproduce, not just copy. You're not supposed to be like everybody else around you. You're supposed to be like God is in you. Get your own PC. Connect with God. That's what we're doing with these blokes. Connect with God. It's called training and equipping men for the front line. The front line of what? Life. Same life we're living in. How are we going to help that? Get your home PC. Plug into Christ. Download. Find out what God's doing, how he's going to do it, and then join him. Hallelujah. You understand? Is this making some sense? Please stay with me, all right? Encourage me. Smile. Hello. Yesterday, I had to say that to the leaders. We've developed a ministry of sellotape. You get two strips that long, one there, and then pull them back under your ears. You can wear it all day. 52% of these 17.2 million own a pet. I used to eat hamsters. Let me tell you this. Sometimes we're the pet. Because if this is true, okay, and it's a BBC, so it must be, then half of you aren't a pet. And one principle is you become like your pet. Kind of soft. It's true. So a dog looks like its owner, I think. It can work both ways sometimes. But if this is true, then half of you have some kind of pet, some kind of passion for an animal that's never going to heaven. Even dogs don't go. Or pink fluffy rabbits. How much time do you invest in that? And not in a person? Why don't you make a pet your neighbour? Invest in them a bit of time. Be their hero. Hello. It's all gone quiet over there. I really don't care, because this is just statistics. What I'm saying is we've got to live above them. We've got to live above them to change them. But man, don't pet God. Don't pet the church. Don't become the pet of it either. But give your time and your effort into the purposes of God. Don't just pet it. There. Oh, somebody look after it while I'm on holiday. No. We've got to arise and stand above that. 20 past. Oh, my watch is right. I put it forward an hour, so I'll shut up. The average time that we spend a week is this, all right? Now, again, I've got a few issues with this. Sorry, money. No, we'll do time first. Apparently, most people in the British Isles, that's 17.2 million people, spend 38% of their week asleep. Now, some of you are having mine. Because I worked mine out this morning, it's not that. So some of you are asleep now, so stop it and wake up. The average is 38% of the week is asleep. I'll tell you what, heroes make do with less. Heroes make do with less. 38% of 168 hours. Work it out. It will probably be about right. It's an average. But man, if we've got to change the average, we've got to live above it. I know some of you last night, probably you probably only got a few hours sleep. Well, you're heroes, I tell you. I certainly know one of the stories, you were a hero to some on God, it would have frozen to death if you didn't stand to the plate. It'd have been dead. But someone was a hero for an hour, changed their life, because they didn't sleep. They didn't sleep their allotted time. I said, what, being an average Christian isn't as my time? No, it's all his time. Oh, you can have me between 9 and 5, but after that it's overtime. Whose time is it anyway? You never invented it, God did. The only reason why God invented it, I think, was to give us a time frame to work to and give the devil a last day. All the way through the Bible, he's getting older, you're getting younger. Yes. It's true, read it. So in the book of Revelation, it's called the old one. You're not, you're called the young ones. The young one. 22% of our average week is spent doing leisure time. Well, they don't work with us. 18% of it is through paid work. They don't work with us. About 10% of it is personal stuff, like cooking meals and stuff. They still don't work with us. Why am I saying that? Because, man, if you want to be on the front line of it, you've got to live above the averages, not under it. Am I saying we're perfect? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is, man, we've got to move something. We've got to change something. We've got to make some decisions to change our day a little bit. Like these blokes are having to do. Yeah, we're putting a little bit of pressure on it, but man, 140 people turn out to a meeting, 132 say, yeah, I'm going to do that. They're heroes. Hallelujah. They're heroes. They broke the average. Yeah. I love that. I say, somebody's having my sleep. 38%, man, that's a lot. It's over 40 hours a week. Nearly 50. He'll know, he's a mathematician. He's sitting there working out, I can see it. He's asleep. For those listening on the tape, that was Pastor Paul Abel, who's asleep on the front row. And he hasn't heard a word I've said. The average spend a week is about £85 is spent on transport, about £82 on recreation, about £62 spent on food, about £6 spent on health. Man, now I'm not a health freak, but how can we as the church bring that unhealthy kind of thinking into our body life? That means 94% isn't spent on health. I think as Christians we've got to invest in our health. Hello there. I don't mean me going and jogging. I mean, if you want to, you can. Although, yeah, we'll say this. Might as well get right into trouble. Scientists have proven, actually, it's much better for your feet to wear no trainers when you're running. Hello, Adidas. Hello, Nike. I've actually proven it over thousands of hours and probably thousands of dollars. Actually, it's much better for you to run barefoot because your foot was designed to spring. But when you wear trainers, you come down on the heel and all the shock goes up your leg. That's right, isn't it, Dr. Nigel Fraser? For those of you on the tape, Nigel's either asleep or he's saying yes. How can we run and not grow weary if we're not fit? Heroes know how to care for themselves spiritually. They know how to be fit every hour of the day. They're ready. Oh, yeah, come on. It's not lead me, it's not come on, just show me what to do. They're fit in their thinking, they're healthy thinking. Healthy kind of lifestyle. Maybe for some of us we've got to do a bit less of the wrong stuff and do a little bit more of the right stuff. Is that all right? I've said it now. Praise the Lord. About £110 a week, which may be different now, because this was 4 years ago, is spent on mortgages and rent. And about £18 is spent on beer and fags. So again, some of you are spending mine because I don't spend any. But it's interesting, isn't it, how we spend more on what kills us than what keeps us alive? Over twice as much. Well, let's not bring that into the church, shall we? Let's not spend twice as much time on what's going to kill us. Sin. Watching wrong stuff. Reading the wrong news. Let's not spend twice as much of our time on stuff that's going to kill us. But let's invest it in things that are going to make us heroes. Man, we need to read some different books. Let's read some books of people that have won something. Climb mountains. Let's read some books about people that have kind of created whole ministries and charities or saved people's lives. Let's read that kind of stuff. Not how you can be an adulterer and get away with it. But Chelsea are really pleased at the minute. England aren't very happy. Neither is the organisation that gave him an award for being the best dad in the world either. Oh, come on, we've got to be heroes for more than just a moment, surely. I think there are three keys to being a hero. Do you want to know what they are? Okay, please yourselves, I'll come back next time and tell you. Do you want to know what they are?
Yes.
We're going to read the Bible, because yesterday Pastor Paul told us off for not using the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to go through this. And I think there are a few principles here. Three principles. And three results of those principles applied that make you and make me a hero. Are you ready for this? Who said yes? I'll just talk to you then. Everybody else? Okay. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus came from Galilee to join the Jordan to be baptized by John. First principle, or the first attitude probably, is we've got to let Jesus into our world. We just got to let Jesus come into our piece of ground, into our lifestyle, into our family, into our territory. We just got to let Jesus come right in there just as it is. We've got to do that. We've got to have Jesus in our place. Whoa! Then it goes on. John tried to deter him, saying, I don't need to be baptized. Man, we need his help. It's not good having Jesus in our lives and then trying to do it yourself. DIY, or maybe even DIY. Maybe you do DIY here, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't. But DIY, tremendously fast-growing business, but it shouldn't be in the kingdom. The only DIY is die. Man, we got to let Jesus into our world, but then we got to let him live out of our world. It's no good as a Christian receiving Christ and then saying, that's all right, Jesus, just sit there, I'll do it. Man, that doesn't make a hero, that makes something else. Sorry if that sounds a bit harsh, but I know a lot of people live like that. It's like Christ came into my life 20 years ago, but I haven't heard from him since. Oh, come on. I've got to have Jesus in my world, and I've got to let him live in my world. Verse 15, Jesus said, let it be done so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill our righteousness. Jesus wants to make your life right from the beginning. He wants to do it right, do it well. He wants to make it right. He wants to make you right. He wants to do right stuff through you, so you turn up in the right place at the right time, in the right attitude, and do the right thing when you get there. That's what heroes do. It's just they never know it. But Jesus wants to do it right. whether you're a single person, married person, old, thin, fat, thick, clever, Jesus wants to do it right through you. I love that. And it goes on, and I love this bit. Remember last week we baptised 5 people. It was an amazing time. People getting bondages broken they've been living with for years. We had 2 young men, both saved within the last 6 weeks, out of a drug culture, totally set free. Why? Because they received Christ into their own world, and then they let Christ live out of that world. Oh, hallelujah, I love that. That was fun. Man, there were some great words. This man was kind of pumping. Man, it's like, come on, I'm going to jump in that tank just for a word in a minute. It was brilliant. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Man, we've got to live above the water a bit. Not under it or in it or paddling around. Oh, it's nice and warm in here. Get out! Stand on top of it! Where is blowing a gale? You can't live under the water. You can't even live in it. You've got to be out above it. Average is the water. And we've got to live above it. And here's a few keys. You ready for it? At that moment. Say at that moment.
That moment.
Now you've already had your moment. So for you it's the past. Heaven was opened. First key. A hero knows heaven's open. They don't need loads of people to tell them. Books to read about it. They don't need someone to convince them. They just know it. There's a door there and I can go in and out. We all use doors. Trouble is most of them leave by them. We never come into them. Well, I don't like that. I'm going. It's too hard for me. I'm going. Some of us only know the way out. Man, we need to know the way in as well. And it's really hard. I'm going to go and find God. It's really too difficult. I'm going to go and pray. Man, I can't meet that bill. I'm going to believe God. We know the way out too many times. Heroes only know the way in. Man, I want to see my kids grow up and know the God. Then don't back out and let the education society do it. You've got to get in there with God. Come on, teach your children the way that they should go. This is making some sense. We've got a door, it's open. Oh, and heroes know how to use it. Second thing is, he saw the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove. Oh, gentle, you are kidding me. You came to take hold of that life and change it forever. Man, we've got to know how to let the Holy Spirit dominate our lives. Sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? I was saying yesterday to leaders, I love being possessed by God, it's fantastic. I want to be possessed. I don't want to leave anything left that he can't use, doesn't want to use, isn't able to use. I just want that descending spirit, that presence of God to use me all the time. In other words, I want to live beyond the power that is my own. The power of yesterday, success or failure, but now I want to live in the power of God. That makes you a hero. You're living in the power of God. The third point is this. A voice. Verse 17. Heroes know who to listen to. I said heroes know who to listen to. They're not believing everything they read. Or they believe in everything they hear from others, but they believe what God's kind of telling them somehow. It might probably be totally contrary to what's going on around you. Well, usually it is. That's why you've got to live above the average. You've got to be awake when others are asleep. Is this still kind of going in? So there's these three principles. We live when we know that there's an open heaven we have access to and throw any time, any day, any place. Hallelujah. That there's the power of the Holy Spirit. It wants to be dominion. He wants to be master and ruler through everything. Thank God he doesn't live according to those averages. Amen. He doesn't sleep. So that one's out. He doesn't owe any money. That one's out. He doesn't have a PC. That one's out. You can get drunk on him though. I don't know how that one works. If we can live with the reality of those three principles which God has already given to you and to me, if you're a Christian, if you know Christ, these are true, then these three are also true. What did this voice say? This is my son. Man, I love to be my when God's talking. You see, heroes know that they don't belong to the circumstance, they don't belong to the people around them, they don't belong to the crisis, they belong to where it's going to lead them and who's going to lead them to it. That they're living and dying for somebody else other than them. This is my son. I love it that God isn't just a God, he's mine. I love it that Psalm 23 doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd, he's my shepherd. I love that. I could tell you loads of stories. I'll tell you one. About 20 years ago, this was a guy out ministering out in Eastern Europe, teaching the English through the Bible, okay? And he just was teaching a whole bunch of school children, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, that was it. And I'd had a severe frost one night, and it's like minus colder than here, which was saying something. And there was a couple of kids were missing. The next day, they'd gone out playing the night before in the woods, and one of them hadn't come back. And they found this frozen body of a 9-year-old child like that the next morning. Nobody knew what it was apart from the teacher. He said, it's because he knew he was mine. The Lord is mine. That's a bit of shock, isn't it? That boy was a hero because he knew the door was open. He knew where he was going. He knew who he belonged to. That's how we need to be. Mine. That's why I like the wedding finger on there. That covenant. Heroes know that they're in covenant with someone bigger than them. There's a bigger life inside of them waiting to come out. It goes on and says, whom I love. Oh, give us a kiss. It's not that kind of love. It's a love that will never give up, never run out, never stop. Break through anything that's dead. Break through anything that's desperate. Break through anything that's desolate. Because the love doesn't know the meaning of failure. Love doesn't know the meaning of stress. That's why it's all kind of things. Patient, kind, all that kind of stuff. But this love, man, heroes live with this kind of love. Heroes die for others they've probably only just met. They're doing it right now. Literally, in some countries, 18, 19-year-old guys giving their lives. When you interview some of these guys that have survived and they chat with them, they weren't there because someone told them. They were there because their mates were there. My dad was a war hero. That's why he went. Because his mates went. He was 17 in 1939. So he signed up with his mates. Why did you go and do that? Because my mates were there. That person next to you needs you to be a hero. And they need you to be one too. Because you love them. Because you die for them. Because you give time for them. Because you want them to be bigger on the outside. And then the last one is this. Whom I'm well pleased. What does this mean? Well, for me, I can understand this because I was in engineering a long time. When you kind of take raw materials, and even when you're working on raw materials, particularly if they're going to be used kind of publicly or used consistently in an ongoing way, they need to be stress tested. You know, is that piece of metal going to hold that weight? And is this brick going to hold that weight? And after a while, they get like a kite mark. You might have seen it, a little BSI mark, a little stamp. It's a stamp of approval. You get them on eggs now, a little line. Seen that? What that means is you can look at that and immediately you can look at that and say, that's going to make a great omelette, as long as I don't cook it up. You know, it's going to make a... It's a great potential to produce, you know, good omelettes. Or good scones. 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 Kelly's in the house. Scones. But in other words, there's a mark there, which in and of itself doesn't do anything, but it represents potential. It's going to be all right. It's going to be safe. It's going to be more than enough. It's going to be more than the job needs. It's going to be bigger than the stress. It's going to be stronger than the pressure. That's the kind of approval you've got. Come on. That's what this means. I approve. Boom. Bang. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came and went, oh, you're going to make it. You're going to get through. You're going to succeed. You're going to win. That's the approval. Doesn't mean we get it right all the time. God knows that. But I'll tell you what, God only produces above average people. He doesn't give birth to average people. He doesn't give birth to failures, only successes. That's you. That's me, by the grace of God. We're destined to live above the averages. We've got the power to change them. I'm really happy about that. Last week, by the time I finished ministering, loads of people got up, they were shouting, clapping, hollering, all kinds of stuff. But I know you're a bit more kind of serene here. I just told a fib, I'm really sorry. How many of you know that you're a hero? Amen. Let's stand up, shall we? I believe God just wants to do a couple of things. One is just really reaffirm that you are a hero. And it's not because you've done anything great or not great, but you've got the potential to be great. God said thousands of years ago, a couple of things. One was, I'm going to make you great. A little while after that, he said, if you know me, you'll be strong and you'll do great. All right, one's in the book of Genesis, the other one's in the book of Daniel. I believe heroes, and that's you and that's me, you're just great, waiting for great things to happen out of your life. Great turnarounds in relationships, great turnarounds in married life, great turns around in parenting, yeah. Great turnarounds in your financial situation, great turnarounds in your prognosis, yeah. Great turnarounds in any diagnosis. There's a turnaround in the spirit happening because God wants you to live out of your average, and your average is you're a victorious, life-filled, spirit-led man or woman of the Holy Ghost. Your average is you're a winner, you're not a whiner. That's the average. It's the average. Is you're a successor. Jesus spent 3 years sowing success into a bunch of people. And in 30 years, that people turned the known world upside down. Why? Because everyone was a hero living out of 1,000 times their own potential. It's the same spirit that you have. I said it's the same spirit that you have. It's the same door of heaven that's open to you that was open to them. Amen. It's the same word that says, you are mine. Yes. Let's just lift up our hands, shall we? Don't worry if you're a bit sweaty, who cares? And just begin to express some kind of response to this. Don't respond to me, respond to what God is saying. That you're a hero. God has chosen you for such a time as this one. Come on, get rid of all the excuses for why you keep getting it wrong. Give them to God. Let God transform your thinking today. Oh, God wants to know the approval is in your life in a real way. He wants you to know there's heaven open your life. Heaven has opened your bank balance. Heaven is over your workplace. Heaven is over your marriage. Heaven is over your ministry in the church and out of the church. And there is a power from the kingdom of God itself that is going to charge you today to live above your averages. You might think you come from the wrong side of town. It's impossible with God. You might think you've come from the wrong generation. God has changed your generation. Man, you might have had a go and failed. Well, let me tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. Father, I want to thank you right now for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that you want to live, want us to live above the water, not paddling around, not just having fun, not just splashing about, but we're living above our averages. We're living above the average life. We're being above the average marriage life, or average life of a student, the average life of a single person, the average life of a child. We refuse the world's averages. I'll tell you, divorce rate in this country, child abuse in this country is abysmal. I'll tell you what we're here for, to change it. We're not here to say, oh, that's a shame. We're here to change it. We're here to change it, turn it round. I mean, come on. Whoever is voted in on the 6th of May is not going to change what you can change. And it's not going to change anything in the way you can change something. Maybe some of you just got to give a bit more time just to seek the face of God, just to open up heaven over your life afresh. Maybe some of you just got to push into God a bit. You might say, well, I don't pray. Well, you're not supposed to. He's supposed to through you. So don't worry about that. Father, right now I want to thank you for the release of the spirit of prayer. A spirit of prayer on the house right now. Father, I want to thank you for people who will hang on to you and refuse to let go until they see your goodness in the land of the living. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you for couples who are going to fight for their marriages and win. They're going to fight for good relationships and win. I want to thank you for people who have children. They're going to fight for the future of their children and win that future today. They're going to fight for their grandparents and win their futures today. Oh, I thank you that you've called us to change the averages, to live above them, and to change them for your glory. Father, I want to thank you right now that you've made us wealthy in every possible kind of way. And Father, where some of us in the physical are struggling financially, Father, we open up that door of wealth right now. Maybe some of us, man, we know there's £1 million in the bank. We got to visit that bank and take it out and use it. Spend it. Man, if you're saving up your money for a rainy day, guess what? You'll have one. Come on, today it's raining. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get it today. Come on, you've got to look at that need and say, that is not part of my life. I'm not living with that. God has made me to live above that kind of existence because he's made me wealthy and rich in every kind of way. I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to make that my hero. I'm going to make Jesus my hero. And he's going to change that. Maybe he's going to change me in the process if he needs to, but I'm going to allow him to do that as well. Father, I want to thank you for a spirit of fight in the house. That all these guys under the sound of my voice have a medal that says for valor in the field of battle. Father, I want to thank you they're going to fight for souls, tens, hundreds, thousands. They're going to fight to change the systems that are in place around this city and win. Father, I want to thank you that we're not going to be people at the sound of battle leave the field. Oh, Jesus, please help us. Jesus, help us to be willing in the day of battle. Let that be today. Do you know something? Heroes are never ready. But they are always willing. Man, if you're waiting to be ready, you might as well dig a grave and jump in it. I've given up just waiting to be ready. God says, no, just be willing. I tell you what, if you've got a willing spirit, you're ready. If you've got a willing heart, you're ready. Don't look at the averages. Look at the average that you've got 100% of God in you. Thank God it's not 50%, 40%, 30%, it's 100%. You've got 100% of the Holy Spirit in you if you've received the Holy Spirit. Hello. It went funny then. Did you hear that? Father, I want to thank you right now for a release of that spirit of faith. Now, you can have it or not. It's up to you. But please, I'm not having a go, all right? Don't just put your hands up and say, hello, Jesus, here I am. If that's all the radio aerial did, you'd never get a picture. You've got to put that, here I am, into something so someone else can see it. Man, you've got to lay hold of it. Grab it as it comes over your head and says, yeah, that's mine, I'm having that. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to help me believe in God, and it's going to change how I look, change how I speak, and change what I do. I'm just going to lay hold of it because it's on offer right now, that spirit of faith with that same spirit. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Because a hero has to sound different from everybody else. And Father, I want to thank you for the change of the sound over this city today. We speak your prosperity over Scarborough, over every level of life and society. We speak prosperity over relationships, a married life and children's life and young people's life. We say you shall prosper and you shall grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. And we refuse to be another city that lives about average. But man, we're going to rise up. Man, we're going to pray. We're going to tarry. We're going to lay hold of you. We're going to come in at the door of heaven. And we're going to come back with loads of stuff to give away. Father, we want to thank you. In these next 12 months, everything is going to change. I said everything is going to change. Go on, give the Lord a great big shout and a clap of thanksgiving. Oh, come on. Oh, let the city know that there's a believer in the house. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.